Welcome to Artrageous, a weekly podcast about the truly outrageous stories in the art and design world. Hey everyone, I'm back with another episode that this time I hope I can actually schedule correctly and get to release on our usual Thursday release date rather than a Wednesday. I guess right off the bat, I'm going to call myself out and say, yes, I totally posted last week's episode early on accident. I'm going to blame the less than optimum UX design of my podcast hosting platform that uses dropdowns to select dates and times rather than a calendar feature. Like, really, it's 2023. Come on, guys. But really, it does come down to me just not knowing what date it even is these days with all the busy stuff going on. In the end, you guys just got a little surprise or gift of an early episode release, if we want to look at it that way. My OCD doesn't agree, since that episode will forever not be posted on a Thursday like all the other episodes, but oh well, stuff happens, and I'm actually happy that everyone was able to tune in just a little bit earlier than anticipated. For today's episode, it's a little more of a follow-up to a past episode. Back in early January, I released an episode on AI-generated art where I talked about what AI-generated art is, why it's controversial, some pros and cons for it, where it might take artists in the future, just a whole lot of stuff. At the time I released the first episode, there was so much on the topic that I just wasn't able to get into without it turning into a 3-hour episode. In that episode, I remember talking about how these AI programs have really great potential to be used as tools for artists. Well, here we are, a couple months later, and I finally broke down and tried it seriously for the first time. I have a lot of mixed thoughts about it, plus some other follow-up topics, so let's dive in and talk about my experience using the AI program Midjourney back in March to help create podcast art for an upcoming project. Going back in time, this all started last summer when Nate and I were in Paris and he was heads down focused writing the script for a new project. Without giving away too many details without his permission, I'll just describe it as a movie without visuals. I did some reading and annotating on a draft of the script, and I have to say that this is shaping up to be a really cool project with a great story. And what does a great story deserve? Great podcast art. When he originally asked me to do it a while ago, I just said, yeah, sure, let me know when you have more details and a solid direction and we can start. You know, the things designers say when their client isn't quite ready to bring the designer into the mix yet, but you want to help out where you can. Fast forward a few months to March, and Nate was at the point of production where he was finally getting back lines from voice actors and getting ready to seriously start looking into the art for the show. Okay, I guess it was finally time for me to get my button gear and start seriously thinking about the podcast art for this show. So Friday, March 10th, 2023, after a long week of work and a giant cup of coffee at 7:30 in the evening, I started a creative brief with Nate about what he was looking for. I asked him what words came to mind when he thought of the story, what kind of visuals he had in mind, what colors he was envisioning, even a couple story types that he associates with his, like Lost Horizon or Mission Impossible. This was all really great brainstorming, and I was able to get a really great starting direction for this podcast art. So I sat down and started looking up reference images for what we call a mood board. I was toying around with the idea of some kind of photo illustration, since I haven't done digital painting in years. I'm not saying I don't like digital painting anymore, it's just a lot of work and takes a lot of time, so for something like this, it might not be the best solution for this particular project, especially if it's something that we wanted to get done sooner rather than later. But as I was looking at photos for this photo illustration plan, I was starting to get really overwhelmed. I was thinking, geez, this needs to be big and epic and cool and all of these things. And I don't know if I can do it. If you're a creative type that's listening in on this episode, then maybe you can relate. Or maybe not. I don't know if you've ever had the type of moment as an artist or writer or even in your normal life where you feel all this pressure to create or do something amazing, but the self-doubt is almost crushing and holds you back a little. It's something that as an artist, I'm constantly working on and it'll get better with time. But shoot, for this project, I even considered just licensing a photo and putting some text on it and calling it a day, because I was convincing myself that that would probably look better than anything I could make. To be honest, I felt the same self-doubt pressure a bit when creating the podcast art for Artrageous. At that time, I realized that if what I came up with was really terrible, I could change it in the future. Yet for something like this that's not my project, I want to get this right the first time, especially when my client believes in me so much and thinks so highly of my work. The pressure was real. Then, to top it all off, I wasn't really finding anything in my image searches for a mood board image collection that was creating any real type of inspiration or excitement for this project. It was all just eh. As I was really starting to stress out about this project, I was mentally snowballing a bit, as I tend to do, and I also started thinking about how it might be a good idea to get started on research for the next full episode of Artrageous, at which point I remembered the second episode about AI-generated art. I figured, screw it, the night was probably a loss anyway, not much would actually get done, so it wouldn't matter if I got off track a little bit. Since apparently the magical bean water wasn't doing it for me, I decided to follow my idea from episode 2 and just test out what an AI program like Midjourney could do to help out a bit in this concepting phase and just get creative juices flowing. I quickly looked up Midjourney and followed the steps on the website to get started. It wasn't quite as straightforward as the site led me to believe, or maybe that was just a me thing, but soon enough, I found myself in one of the Midjourney newbies chat rooms on Discord, where I was seeing all kinds of art popping up in the chat thread. For those of you who aren't familiar with the program, here's a quick rundown on how Midjourney works. Once you enter your prompt into the chat thread on Discord, the Midjourney AI program thinks about it for a minute and then it spits back 4 images it generated based on your prompt. You can then choose to have the AI upscale any of those images, or you can have the AI create a variation of one of those images. With that variation option, effectively, you have the ability to further refine the results you get from the AI to see what it can come back with to make the image better or just tweak it in some kind of way. Once you have your final image, you can then download it and do whatever you want with it. All things considered, it looked pretty simple. So I typed in the chat box /imagine and pressed enter. That starting prompt then allows you to enter your text into the chat box to tell the AI program what to generate. While some people were being really specific with their prompts, I literally just typed in astronaut with nebula and I pressed enter. As the program loads your images, it starts off with a really blurry image, and then as it loads, it gets clearer and clearer. What came back was really cool. Each image was of an astronaut surrounded by really pretty colored space clouds. I was really impressed with what this AI gave me to start. I then had Midjourney create a few variations just to see what would happen. I think the biggest complaint I have about the program is that you can't really tell it how you want it to create a variation or what you want it to refine. You just press that variation button and it does what it wants. Either that or you have to re-enter the prompt and risk it coming back with something completely different, which you might not want. As an artist, both scenarios aren't necessarily the best thing if you have a specific idea or vision in your head, or even if you're trying to control an output and really hone in on something specific. But regardless of that flaw, I kept creating variations just to see what I could get to come out of the machine. Eventually, I realized that I kept finding myself coming back to this one image the AI had created for me pretty early on. I used the upscale option to make it as big as I could, then I downloaded the result to see what I was actually looking at. And oddly, I saw potential. The next phase of this extremely weird and new workflow was I took the image Midjourney gave me and I just started working with it. Looking at this raw image from Midjourney, it didn't really surprise me based on what I've seen and heard and is pretty typical with these AI image generators. There were a few things in this image that didn't look quite right. You might have heard that one of the easiest ways to spot an AI-generated image is to look at things like hands and feet and teeth on humans, or even basic structure and architecture on things like buildings or cars or other inanimate objects. Oftentimes, if you really look, you'll be able to find something that's just not quite right with that AI-generated image, and it's a dead giveaway that it was not created by a human. Clearly, the data in the Leon 5B dataset didn't include enough toe pics scraped from the OnlyFans website database for reference. But keep in mind, as much as we are hearing about these programs, they're still in their baby phases and are by no means fine-tuned enough to create absolutely perfect images, especially when there's a lot of detail and subtle nuances. In my case, a couple of the wires on the spacesuit bifurcated or split at really weird and inexplicable places. There were some things on the suit that I couldn't make heads or tails of what it was actually supposed to be. And worst of all, when I pulled the image into Photoshop, I realized I was looking at an image that was about 1,000 pixels by 1,000 pixels, this image was 1,000 pixels by 1,000 pixels at 72 dpi. So not that great of quality. Even at 100% scale, not even zoomed in at all, it wasn't that big on the screen and I could see some of the pixelation and dodginess in the quality. A super quick lesson here in image resolution for anyone who might not be familiar with the concept. Image resolution basically determines how big and clear an image is. Every pixel-based digital image is made up of thousands of little pixels, each containing their own color. And when I say pixel-based, I mean JPEGs, PNGs, images like that that you can just download off the web. The word resolution references how detailed that JPEG or PNG pixel-based image is, and that's determined by how many pixels or dots there are per square inch. DPI means dots per inch. For most web or digital applications, a 72 DPI image is totally fine, but printed items are better at 300 DPI. Maybe it was just me being silly in this case, because if this thing is digital, then I really didn't need the extra DPI for a digital application, but I did need the extra length and width and overall number of pixels. Podcast art needs to be a minimum of 3,000 by 3,000 pixels, and I was looking at a third of that size, regardless of whether it was 72 or 300 DPI. Well, how do you upscale an image? You can't just create pixels and maintain super crisp quality. Trust me, if that were the case, then half of all designers' life problems would magically disappear. But no, we aren't that lucky, so my first step in dealing with the 1,000 by 1,000 pixel image from Midjourney was to upscale the size and quality and work on cleaning up the pixelation. The wizardry that took place was something that I haven't had to do in a long time. In the end, the image came out to be closer to 4,200 by 4,200 pixels, and it was up to the 300 DPI resolution I like to work with. Side note, it's always better to have too many pixels and quickly downsize a copy of the image later than to not have enough pixels and have to go through this upsizing process. But I'm nerding out over here. Basically, considering what I started with, the image quality was looking pretty darn good after this first step. I then decided that I needed to figure out what was going on with the weird objects and wires in the astronaut's suit. I could have gone in with my drawing tablet and painted in the corrections by hand, but the biggest problem with that approach is then I risk the visual style not matching in that area if I'm not careful. So heck with it, I was already in it. Why not dig myself deeper into bed with the AI monster? I turned to Midjourney again and had it create a couple more variations of the image that hopefully would have something a bit more logical in that one portion of the astronaut suit. In the end, I think I ended up with about 5 or 6 images total. I then pulled all of those images into Photoshop and did the same resizing procedure I did on the first image, and then I began cutting, pasting, and blending objects from those extra images into the original image. I replaced what looked like maybe it was a knife handle, and I replaced that with some pocket-like things, and the wire with two ends that started and ended at weird spots, I ended up fixing that one with a partial helmet replacement. Overall, lots of Photoshop wizardry was happening, and by compositing together multiple images, all of the inaccuracies from the original AI image was being covered up at a pretty decent pace. Among the five or six photos I was working with, there was a surprising amount of things I could swap out and tweak to make the final image look more convincing. For this project in particular, Midjourney's variation feature was giving me different but similar enough images that I could really pick and choose and work with them in a way that wasn't totally impossible to paste them together believably. And what's podcast art without the show title, right? The next step was to start looking at some text options for the title, and soon enough, voila, I had what appeared to be the start of some really cool podcast art. I don't know if anyone else does this when working, but sometimes I try to keep things interesting while working by doing silly little things or making a little joke that I'll later edit out. Just really silly stuff that keeps me entertained and has no real rhyme or reason. Harkening back to all the times I've joked about using Comic Sans in serious applications, this was one of those times that I did it just for giggles. Unfortunately, and to no one's surprise, my option with the title in Comic Sans was the absolute first version to be called out and thrown out. It was all for the best, though, because I think in the end, we settled on a really cool option. When we come back from this quick break, I'll tell you all about where this whole wacky process went. So stick around because I think you might be interested in a couple different perspectives I'm bringing on this subject. Welcome back, everyone. Before the break, I talked a bit about how I got to the very low point of the creative process and had made the decision to try out a generative text-to-image AI tool called Midjourney to try to get some creative juices flowing on a podcast art illustration project that literally had me drawing a blank. This is the point in the story where the guilt started to kick in. Have you ever done something that instantly makes you feel guilty? Like stealing a quarter out of your mom's purse when you were a kid to go buy candy from the candy machine at the mall. Okay, that might be an absolutely horrible example, but it's basically the same concept. When all was said and done, standing back, I realized what I had just done. I realized that I had jokingly used AI-generated art to create an image that could seriously be considered for a new show's cover art. And I'll be honest, Nate was fully aware of how I was creating this thing, and as we were talking about it, I remember saying, "I feel so guilty. I can't believe I just cheated on my art degree like that. Why did I even go to art school?" And then that conversation just went from there. I think it went something like this. So, okay, say we used this podcast art. Nate really likes it. I mean, it's a pretty cool piece that could be used if we wanted to. But as an artist, can I really sign my name to it? Personally, I just wouldn't feel right saying that I made it without acknowledging the fact that I used Midjourney to create a bulk of the piece. It just feels like cheating and lying and taking credit for something that I didn't do. I was honestly having the worst time coming to terms with this piece and what I had worked on for the last few hours. Now, at this point, it was 2:30 in the morning, and I needed to call it a night, but I literally fell asleep, feeling like I was the worst person in the world and just battling with myself over the morals of this process, which, looking back, seems kind of ridiculous, but hey, it's how I felt in the moment. I woke up in the morning, and I decided, very first thing, that I was going to turn my brush with evil into something for the collective good. And while that may sound totally dramatic, I woke up still feeling really guilty about using Midjourney for a serious piece of podcast art. I also texted my best friend, who's also a designer and the other half of my brain, and I told her that I had done a very bad thing, and I sent her a screenshot of the abomination that I had created the night before. While I was texting her, she told me about a photographer that she had met that uses AI in his work. And at that point, I realized that maybe AI does have its place in an artist's workflow. So after talking to my friend and my mom as well, and after having slept on it the whole night, I was looking at this piece and I was still wrestling with it a bit, feeling a little bit better, but just still kind of wrestling with it. I think what struck me the most was that standing back, this piece just looked completely soulless. To me, it lacked the artist's touch that's inherent in any human-made creation. I found it incredibly difficult to connect with the piece as its creator, even though I was the one who had just worked on it for hours. I honestly felt nothing for this piece. No connection, no empathy, and I realized that I wouldn't really panic or even care too much if the file were to accidentally be corrupted and unusable, or if I accidentally deleted it. It was such a weird feeling, especially for someone like me who is a habitual file hoarder and backs up literally everything. And yet, as I was looking at this piece, it was intriguing. I saw ways in which I could keep working on it to make it better. I saw ways to make it work, and I realized I had all the pieces and tools I needed to do it. I had those 5 or 6 extra images I was working with, plus I could pull up Midjourney with a few clicks of a mouse. Why not try to fix what I was seeing and keep working on it? You know, see this process all the way through. Heck, maybe that would give it that artist's touch that I was missing and that the piece needed. One of the first things I did when revisiting the piece was some much-needed color grading. The original image Midjourney gave me had a multicolored nebula, which was super cool, but what I found was throwing me off was that the part of the nebula on the astronaut's shoulder was red and orange, so it literally looked more like the astronaut was on fire than surrounded by a space nebula. After changing up the hue and saturation of that part to fix the issue, I then looked at the composition as a whole. For the record, another thing Midjourney is not that great at is composition. Stepping back and looking at the image's overall composition, I realized I had a whole upper right corner that was straight up black and empty. And it wasn't black and empty like the well-thought-out black hole concept I was originally picturing when first entering into this process. I hate to admit it, but my original lazy idea was to put the Stoveleg Media logo just up in that top right corner. Luckily, I came to my senses real quick and instantly decided that was an awful idea. So then I figured I could maybe sample nebula pieces from some of the other variations I had and use that to fill in the space. I think that took at least another 2 hours, which really sounds ridiculous, but something organic like a space nebula is surprisingly really hard to create using the predetermined set of puzzle pieces that I was pulling from multiple Midjourney results. It definitely didn't help that each image's space nebula renderings had a slightly different visual quality than what I needed. I was looking for something closer to the treatment of the nebula in the original image that looked more like watercolors, but a lot of the variations and other images I had from Midjourney, those nebulas were either smoother or more realistic, and they just didn't match visually. So a lot of what I had was completely unusable. But being an artist, I got crafty and resourceful, and in the end, I just made it work. All told, I don't really know how many hours I spent working on this piece. Even though it was on and off throughout the day, it was well past 11 o'clock at night before I finished it. And surprisingly, the more I worked on it, the more I was feeling comfortable with the idea of saying that this was something that I created, even if not completely. I think to me, it's something to do with the idea that Midjourney did not completely create the image I was seeing in front of me. It took a lot of me and my hand to get that image where it was. Maybe there was a way Midjourney could have created something similar or really close, but the amount of work that I had put in on that dang astronaut had removed it so far from being just an AI creation that I do feel a little bit more comfortable with it now, like to the point where I would let this be the actual podcast art for the show. But I do still have my concerns. Let's say there's a season 2 or 3 to this show, and kind of like how a TV series changes up their graphics each season, like if we think about the Blu-ray boxes for the Game of Thrones series, well, how am I going to do the same thing for this show, where it's a similar image, but not quite? First of all, I totally used up all of my free trial for Midjourney, so if I wanted to keep using it, at some point I will either have to pay for it or create a new account. Not a deal breaker, but it's still a little annoying. Second, and really the biggest problem, is there really isn't that much control over what the Midjourney program is spitting back at you. I think a good analogy for this one would be that it's a lot like rolling a dice with infinite sides. Even if I entered the exact same prompt to start, I would likely see very different results. Even if I went back to the original image, the variation feature in Midjourney is just not built for specific edits. It's more like a slight nudge in a random direction that you can't control. One more thing to note, and really this is just a nitpicky thing that I could avoid if I paid some money, but in the free version of Midjourney, you are prompting the AI in a public chat room where dozens of other people are also generating images at the same time. You can see what prompts those people are giving, and you can see their results. And all of those prompts and results are jumbled in with your prompts and results, which is really frustrating as the chat keeps filling up and it keeps pushing your results further and further up that quickly growing thread. It's almost like the modern day, super techie future, real life version of finding a needle in a haystack. The interesting thing about this public chat room is that by seeing what prompts people are using, you get a better idea of ways to control the AI just a bit more. It's not really scientific or foolproof by any means, but looking at the way other people use the program might help a little. While I was entering just two or three words to get my results, I noticed one person who was asking Midjourney for a very specific thing in the longer prompts that they were giving it. Sometimes the user tweaked the prompt slightly, but other times they use the exact same prompt. Midjourney would then come back with something different every time, but because they were giving it a direction on style within that prompt, they all looked to be in a similar style, and yet they were all still different. All of that goes to say that in a year or so, when I'm asked to create season 2's art, good luck to me if I ever want to create something similar. I truly don't know if I will be able to simply because of how Midjourney works. I touched on this earlier, but as an artist, that's a really scary feeling to not know if you can do something. It's not a good business model either. If the content and quality of my work is highly dependent on something as unpredictable as the AI-generated results of Midjourney, how am I going to create a stable and predictable product and experience for my clients? If I rely on myself, yeah, the skills and quality and style might evolve and improve over time, but not nearly to the extent that the AI results change. Maybe for some people that's intriguing, but for me, that kind of unpredictability feels more like a liability, and I don't know if I could ever completely rely specifically on Midjourney, at least to that extent. I've seen a sample of how DALL-E works, and maybe that program would allow for a little bit more control, but overall, it's going to take some more experimentation if I were to ever use it seriously in my work. In the end, I think we are going to use the art that Midjourney helped me create. So even though I had all of those feelings I had initially about using Midjourney in this project, you know, in the end, I think it's just a matter of being transparent. Yes, I used AI to help create the podcast art for an upcoming show. But no, it's not just an image spit out of a generator. I had to do a lot of work and use my artistic skills and training to get it to look the way it does. Especially as this technology grows and evolves, I think AI is going to become something that's accepted a little bit easier over time. I was talking to my mom about it too, and she said that the way I was feeling, like it was cheating, is exactly how my dad felt about using a program called CAD when it first came out. He was an engineer for 40-something years, so when they no longer had to hand-draw designs and specs for products, it felt really weird and different. But by the time he retired, using that CAD software to do drawings was just the norm. Maybe for designers and artists, AI will be kind of the same thing and become just another tool in the toolkit. But there you have it, everyone. That was my experience with using Midjourney to create podcast art, plus some of, or rather a lot of my thoughts about that weird experience. Plus a bit extra because apparently I can't not go on tangents and keep myself from bringing all this good content to the table. And I know I just spent this whole episode talking about this piece of art that I did that you can't even see because I didn't include it in the show notes, But if you're interested in seeing the results of this crazy AI creative journey, keep your eye on the Stoveleg Media Network for Reformation Abroad, coming your way in May. Trust me, I read the script when I helped edit it, and it is an absolutely fantastic story, and I also do have a little bit of preview on the audio, so I can confidently say that it has amazing sound production. It's truly a stellar on-demand audio experience, as Nate likes to call it. So keep an eye out, or rather an ear out, because you won't want to miss it. On the Artrageous side, I'd absolutely love to hear from you about what you think of the show or if you have any feedback or reviews. So if you have literally 2 seconds, please leave me a review in your podcast app. You can leave a comment if you'd like or just the stars, but just know that I appreciate all of the reviews and feedback that I get. Not only do your 5-star reviews help me know I'm bringing you content you want to hear, but it also helps me with the podcast app algorithms and gets the show out there to other people that might enjoy listening in every week. Speaking of every week, I will be back next Thursday, hopefully not Wednesday if I can get my episode scheduled correctly, but I'll be back next Thursday with another episode for you. And I think I'm going to do something just a little bit different. So stay tuned and you'll find out what I mean next week. Until then, stay Artrageous. Series music created by Arensen. Music and transition sounds licensed from Motion Array. Artrageous is a proud partner of Stoveleg Media.
Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.